Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Way We Nerd. And I forgot to do something very important last week, and that was introduce us.
Oops.
If you don't know us, my name is Daniel Villalobos, and to my right,
Kyle Bound.
Diagonally from me,
Josh Moorhead.
And then directly across from me,
Potter.
There you
Josh
go.
Josh Potter.
Josh Potter. So, last week we talked about the hashtag Oscars So White, and we talked about our top 10.
Yes.
Which I'm still working on my list of all 61 movies I saw this year. It will be up within a couple days. So make sure you visit thewaywenerd.com. Check out our blogs. So we should just dive right into headlines. What do you guys think?
We should.
All right. Well, have you...
The biggest, I think, is the date change.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. I was going to get to that.
Why you always got to lead with Star Wars, man? Come on.
We usually finish with Star Wars, so might as well lead this.
And finish with Star Wars.
That's usually Star Wars.
It's a circle of life, yeah.
Episode 8 has been pushed from May 2017 to December 2017 to cash in on that holiday goodness.
Yep.
And it's just wonderful, I feel like.
It worked for Episode 7.
Right.
It's gonna hopefully work for Rogue One.
In the rumor the day before the change happened was that Disney had just given Rian Johnson a month to do rewrites.
Ah.
And then the next day it was like, we're just... And that the second that happened, I was like, they're going to December.
Yeah. We'll just give them 6 more months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, did you guys hear why the rewrites were happening, though?
To give more emphasis to...
You said that already. I'm sorry. Did I miss
No. Okay. I was just saying, is that what you meant?
Continue. Yes.
To give more emphasis to Poe and Rey and Finn.
Yeah, which sucks because apparently... Oh. I mean, it doesn't suck. It's actually a good thing because I love those characters a lot. And I want more of them. Yes, that's the reason they did it. But they are apparently cutting down on two what were going to be major characters in 8, and now they're cutting them down to minor characters.
And that upset me to hear because...
Do we know what the characters
are? No, they haven't really talked
about it.
One
of them's the girl.
Gina Rodriguez was up for one of the parts. I know that girl from Jane the Virgin.
Oh, yeah.
And they cast the other one, but it's not a very well-known person.
Was she up for the same? Because there's been a lot of rumors of Tatiana Maslany being in 8.
I think... I don't even know if the role is officially... Is it cast? The one girl role?
One of them is. They did cast one. I read somewhere. They didn't give the girl's name, but they said it's an Asian actress, but she's not very known.
Okay.
I didn't see the name, unfortunately.
Huh. Here's the thing. Like, when I heard that, even not knowing what these characters are, I got kind of upset. Because I love the characters we just got, but I was also like, I don't want Rian Johnson's vision to be compromised. And I started thinking about other characters in Star Wars that I love. Love Lando, but how much is he really an Empire? You know?
Right.
Like, yeah. He's not in that movie the whole time. So if whatever characters they're talking about is somebody we get dropped in halfway through the movie and they're there for 4 or 5 scenes, they're still got to be iconic. We can still love them. If you think about it, Poe's barely in Force Awakens.
That's fair.
Right. Well, and we're in a world now with Star Wars where the episode-titled movies are not the end-all be-all of the story.
Right.
You know, they have all of these other Star Wars stories. Oops, my bad. So,
God, silence your phones,
people. If one of these characters pops in a particular way and they're not as integral to the story of 9, who knows what's going to happen after 9, if there's going to be 10, 11, 12, or what, they can get their own movie because we can do that now. Yeah. You know, it's hard to give... I was going to say it's hard to give Han his own movie, but they're doing that and recasting him.
Well, look at Boba Fett, too. I mean, Boba Fett really isn't in... He doesn't have that much screen time in the original trilogy, but he's become one of the most well-loved characters, which I know some super fans are like, oh my God, he's just a bounty hunter. Who cares? He's just got a cool suit. But there's credence to that. Like, people love Boba Fett.
Look, there's only like 6 playable hero characters in like Battlefront, and he's one of them.
Yeah,
like,
and it's,
Chewie's not.
It's
but
so
he
cool.
Is.
I love the Fett, man. That's why I make helmets based on Boba Fett. But things like that. And then he's going to get his own spinoff movie, most likely.
I'm also just super happy.
I want Yoda. Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, I want Yoda
would be great.
You have a puppet Yoda.
Yes.
I don't care which Yoda. Just give me a Yoda.
That's
Yoda, Yoda babies.
I don't watch that. 900 years ago.
Whippersnapper Yoda. Like, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the pod before, but they're in one of the novels, and I think Potter has read this one. Maybe Josh Moorhead.
I haven't read any of the new ones. I need
no, this is an old one.
Oh, an old one.
Yeah,
oh,
Courtship of Princess Leia.
Yes. Oh, yes, yeah. I have. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, so in the Courtship of Princess Leia, they go to a planet of witches, and the witches talk about Yoda, and they're like, I remember a young Jedi named Yoda coming here, and he was very naughty and
It's Dathomir.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he was like, flirty with the Night Sisters and everything.
Yeah.
I want to see that Yoda because I could totally see Yoda as a little flirt.
Three fingers, I have.
Whoa.
The other thing about the date change to me that's great, and I was sad in a way that it was coming out, that the other two were scheduled to come out in May all along, was that yes, Star Wars used to own May, but there's so much more room to breathe when it comes out in December, especially that May. It was going to come out like 2 weeks after Guardians 2 and like a week before some other major release that I'm now forgetting, which I think was like another...
I think Spider-Man was in there.
Pirates
was in there. Spider-Man moved up to earlier in July.
Right. Yeah.
Pirates moved into the Star Wars space.
Yes.
What's going to be interesting is to see where $6 Million Man moves. Yes. $6 Million Man scheduled the week after Episode 8.
And Ready Player One to see if it moves at all.
Yes.
Also, the other hilarious thing that happened is, so that news dropped 45 minutes later, I think, Slash Film or somebody was the first people to run the article. Oh my God, now Avatar 2 and Episode 8 are going head-to-head. I knew that was never going to happen. The next day, Avatar 2 off the schedule. This is going to start a debate, but I don't care if that movie never happens.
Me neither.
Same here, actually.
I don't really care either, and I love James Cameron. So.
And like, and
I'd rather work on something else.
Yeah, exactly. I'd rather see Battle Angel, which you started talking about like in 1995.
But that's been brought back on the table.
Because Rodriguez, right?
Yeah, Rodriguez said, hey, I'll do it for you. So,
yeah.
Cool.
There was no way.
That'd be an interesting choice, too.
Yeah.
There's no way they were going to go head-to-head to begin with. And
no, but what...
Avatar is like, who knows?
This is the thing about Avatar, then. Avatar is going to have to move to the summer if they don't want to go against Star Wars, because...
Yeah.
I'll give my opinion on the date change. I am slightly sad that we're not going to get a Star Wars movie on the 40th anniversary.
True.
But that's okay. That's okay, because it's still in the 40th anniversary of the movie came out, and I'm pretty sure Star Wars was still in cinemas December 77.
Yeah.
So, and I'm pretty sure well into 1978. But incidentally, that would also be my 40th birthday that year, so it's going to be kind of crazy. But I am excited that we will get a Christmas present named Star Wars for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
It seems like every Christmas we're going to get a Star Wars, because I remember... not so much The Hobbit, but when The Lord of the Rings was out,
that was
such a happy time. 3 years in a row, we had to look forward to a Lord of the Rings movie.
Yeah.
We know it was coming out for sure. That's what we're going to get with Star Wars, at least for the next... I mean, they haven't announced it for Episode 9, but I'm pretty sure it's going to happen.
Yeah, and then whatever the Star Wars story is in between.
Yeah,
I mean, as long as Rogue One does well.
Yes, and I think
it will.
It's going to do well. If people think it's going to do Episode 7 money, they're stupid.
No.
But
if it does
Episode 7 money, it's a success.
Yeah.
So, and it will do more than that, I think. I think it'll do at least 2/3. I think it'll make like my guess. I'm going to make a prediction now. I think it makes $600 million domestic, but worldwide it's just a little bit less. But I think it still gets to the billion mark, obviously, a little bit over. But I think it can make like $600 million here.
Thing is, it has a great cast. Like, I mean, it has so many things going positively for it that I don't see how it won't do well. That's I'll go
the only thing
it,
that's going
to
trip
all right, I'll scale it back to 550.
The only thing that's going to trip it up is a little bit of brand confusion, where Star Wars laymans are going to go, oh, sweet, the new Star Wars movie, and then go in and be like, the hell, there's no Jedi, there's no characters that I knew.
I don't think it's going to be a problem.
It's just a branding. It's a marketing.
What's going to happen is the teaser's going to tell you what the movie is.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're going to see, like... You know, these plans have to get to, you know, you're going to see the clips from the original Star Wars,
right.
Plus, you know, talking about the plans, get those plans back, you know, and then it'll explain, like, this is the story, and those won't be the words, but this is the story of how the rebels got the plans.
I also wonder, and I know some of this is going to be like legacy, non-canonical now, but I wonder if they're going to go with a thing where it's all of the plans or just a portion, because unless they retcon it or backtrack, there were other people involved in getting the Death Star plans. And I know with the Death Star 2, the Bothans were involved, obviously, but...
Right.
Well, there's nothing expressly stated in canon.
True.
That there's other people.
Right, correct, correct. So canon has no...
As of now, yeah.
The only things we know about the Death Star plans is that Leia got them and that, I think, Dooku takes them at the end of...
Dooku takes them from the
Geonosians.
Yeah,
Clone Wars.
Yeah. Which I still don't know how I feel about the Geonosians working on those and coming up with those, but whatever.
Oh my god, you know what I just realized? This movie could go back to Geonosis. Like, it could be the little bridge.
It could.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about
that.
Well, I don't think they will just because they're doing everything they bloody can to save it.
Right, right. Creepy. Well, that and...
I don't think they're doing that as much as you
the
think.
The one picture you see really is very gray.
Right.
Like the place there, like it's a gray cave, whereas Geonosis is a brown orange color of that planet.
But I mean, just plot wise, they're.
I'd be okay with that. Yeah. It would be interesting, I think.
Yeah, it would be interesting. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
What else do we got for news, Dan?
Well, hold on. I want to finish one more thing with the, we're talking about here with the Star Wars here.
But we can never finish.
Wars.
That's the thing. Yeah, we can never stop talking about it.
This will be my last
it.
Thing until we get to the what we watch. Because or what we watch segment of our show, because there's something I watch that is Star Wars related, but
I'm so surprised.
more to the point that Josh has said that they're trying to steer away completely from the prequels. Okay, if they are, they really need to stop, because I don't care what anybody says. The people that don't like the prequels is a smaller group than people that like it. I know you don't think it's true.
No,
but it is.
What I mean is,
or what people don't think it's true. I'm not saying you. I shouldn't say you, Josh. I don't mean Josh. But the people out there that hate the prequels. You are actually in a minority. It's just people who love it don't really get loud about it. They should, or like it.
The prequels at this point are like, it's like the failed uncle in the family that nobody wants to talk about. They're not denying their existence or pretending they're not real, but they're just ignoring talking about them. You know,
right.
They're just going out their way to not to bring.
They're
them
not
up.
Emphasizing.
Well,
yes.
If this whole rumor about Hayden Christensen being a Force ghost in Episode 8 is true, and I hope to God it is, because
well,
that would be amazing.
There's concept art for him in 7.
Did I tell you the rumor that there was a version of 7 where there were two?
Yes.
Vader or two.
Yes.
Anakin
oh, that's
ghosts.
Not
yeah,
a rumor.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
that's,
yeah. I'll get
that's,
one.
That's
amazing
concept art for it
in the book
and the art
for
the
two
Force
ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's amazing storytelling.
Awesome.
Amazing storytelling.
Yeah, it'd be super cool.
I really hope that's what happens.
Yeah.
So, but all right, we can move on from Star Wars now. But it's gonna come back once we get to the what we watched because, well, and it's funny because the Rogue One, I wouldn't say ties into it, but okay, we'll get there. Anyway,
yeah. Moving on.
More news from the week. Well, I think, I mean, there's little bits of news as I was looking around the online before we came on the show, but. I think the biggest news we talked about is CW's doing what we call, or what they call, DC Week. And this whole week has been the mid-season premieres of Supergirl. Well, all that's CBS. The mid-season premieres of Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, and the premiere of Legends of Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what they did during, I want to say it was Tuesday night after the Flash, they did a show called, it was all about DC's movie slate. Kevin Smith hosted with...
it was cool. Jeff Johns.
Jeff Johns. Yeah. God, how can I forget that? I love Jeff Johns.
Did you go to his like
best
Halloween
writers.
Party or something?
No, I went to Jim Lee's. I was hoping
okay.
Jeff Johns would be there, but he wasn't.
Yeah.
But Jeff Johns came out with Kevin Smith, and they showed, number one, they showed the Suicide Squad trailer, which I'm sure everybody out there has seen.
Oh, yeah, we got to
talk about that. We are going to talk about that. But I think what we should start with, because Kyle just saw it, Wonder Woman footage.
Yes.
Now, when we went to see Star Wars The Force Awakens, they had a preview of Batman versus Superman, and the biggest cheer, and that movie did get cheers in the theater, but the biggest cheer was when Wonder Woman hit the screen. That made me really, really happy, because it wasn't just women screaming, it was men screaming too. So, Kyle, since you just saw it, what'd you think?
I don't care about any other DC movie. Like, I'm in on that, that's all I need. Clearly the director... gets what it is. Everybody gets Wonder Woman and what the character is and what the movie is, and it just looks great.
Director Patty Jenkins, I believe, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Smartly hiring
yes.
a woman to direct it.
Yes. Was she Punisher Warzone?
No, that was a woman by the name of... Oh, my God.
I'm kind
of
glad it's not, because I could only watch, like, 10 minutes of that movie, because they're so...
It was Lexi Alexander.
Yeah, that's right. But who is... What else is...
She was up for Wonder Woman, by the way.
Right. What else is Patty Jenkins?
Patty Jenkins, I'm going to look her up right now. She did do something that is very well loved. Oh, my God, what is it?
The footage is amazing.
Yeah, it looks great.
Just a little brief bit
I was
of
going to see it no matter what,
it's,
just to, like, support...
It's period, right?
It's huh? World War One.
Period,
it's
right?
Yes. World War One.
Yeah. At least a major chunk of it.
Yeah.
But that footage is, like... I didn't know what they were going to do with it. I was going to see it to support, like, you know, lady rights, no matter what. But it's amazing footage. She's so badass. And then in that special, they said she's basically the best warrior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the DC universe.
Now, I'm wondering, and obviously the preview doesn't give it away, I wonder if they're going to keep the original Wonder Woman story and make her made of clay, or are they going to make her...
I think
it doesn't
the
sound
way,
like...
The way they phrased it is that she... She's basically DC Thor.
Yeah, she is.
She comes from. Yeah, she's a god. She for a long time they went out of their way to protect humans, and then her. This is the great plot: is that then her mother and like her society said, "Fuck these humans! They're awful at what they do."
Yeah.
And then once she starts coming to her own, she's like, "No, we have to help them." Which is during the First World War, World War One.
Yeah.
And also, she probably thinks Chris Pine is hot. Which, okay.
I mean,
she wants to help him
she's
out.
She's not wrong.
And
so, the ladies agree on Chris Pine
there
being
was
hot
not thing. One shot
he is
of
dreamy.
Baking or cleaning.
Oh,
laundry.
Oh.
No, this is a very modern woman, even though she obviously is a very non-modern time, from a non-modern
sure.
time.
Well, there's like the... One of the, and it's such a small thing, but like, okay, you look at...
Also, this is a female-dominated society that Wonder Woman comes from.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
But to bring in a little bit of Suicide Squad, you look at Suicide Squad with Harley Quinn.
Yay!
And then, you look at, this trailer, and like, there's a shot of her looking in a mirror with like, she's like...
Oh, the
completely
normal
dressed,
shot?
She's got
yeah.
a freaking hat on and glasses, and it's like, okay, yes, she can just be a person.
Right.
Yeah,
she doesn't have to slowly bend over to grab the clutch out of the window. And
okay, well, that's... You can't hate on Harley Quinn for that. That's what that character is.
Wait, is that why you're nitpicking?
No, no, I'm just comparing the
Kyle
two.
Kyle hates Margot Robbie's ass.
Number one, Harley Quinn's a villain.
I don't... Yes, she is, but it's...
Number two, that is right. Harley Quinn is sex. Yes. Even the animated series, like that tight suit
they
put on her.
Yeah.
The way
yeah.
she... Yeah, oh my God.
You
want to
rev
she's
up your
highly
Harley?
Sexualized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying, but there's still a place for that. And I think in Suicide Squad is where that belongs. Whereas Wonder Woman, that's where we need the empowering woman.
Yeah, I don't know. There's parts of Suicide Squad,
oh my God,
I guess, to completely change that. There's parts of that Suicide Squad trailer that I love, and parts that I'm like,
it's got to
okay.
be the craziest movie.
It's gonna
I don't
be
know. It'll be interesting.
It will.
But, a lot of people now are looking forward to that more than Batman versus Superman.
What I like about Wonder Woman, though, going back to that, is, like we've all said, the writer and the team, they get the character, and the thing that sticks out to me is, and it's something Patty Jenkins said, is that she has all these abilities, superhuman abilities, you know, she's strong, she's tough, but she's also kind-hearted. And that is at the center of that character. She cares. She's not, whereas Thor, if you want to compare those two, Thor can be kind, but he's more
he's
brutish. He's arrogant. He, you know,
he's
cynical.
Very much a,
he's,
yeah.
Her
he's
heart
cool
is what
himself.
Pulls her into the
yeah.
DC
yes,
universe.
Yes, exactly.
Thor is like machismo personified.
I just like that they get that character. They get who Wonder Woman is.
Yeah.
And I think that is evidenced by that footage we've seen.
I'm just excited that DC decided to take the leap, that even though they haven't seen a return on Batman versus Superman yet, I mean, the movie could fail. I don't think it's going to, but it could fail financially. It costs a lot of money to make.
Possibly.
So,
yeah.
But they're committed to releasing Wonder Woman regardless. So fuck it.
It
doesn't matter. We're bringing
right.
a woman superhero to screen, and we're bringing the number one woman superhero, because she is, I mean, I'm trying to go back even far. I can't think of anybody farther back than her. Like, she is number one, and she's always been on the same level as the men, even in the 1940s.
Yeah.
Like, she was never in the kitchen cooking and doing all that stuff.
Right.
She was always woman empowerment even in the 1940s. Like, I mean, she's
I think it's all a character conspiracy by the Clinton campaign just to get her more street cred.
Very well, but Marvel, they beat you to the punch. You should have brought out a Black Widow movie, even though we did it and we called it Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier. But Black Widow should have got her own movie. I guarantee you, a $30 million actioner would have made $100 million easy.
Yeah.
But
whatever. They have Captain Marvel, but they push that back now too.
Yeah. So what are you gonna do? That's fine. But they are making for it. Like the new Ant-Man movie is Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not like one top billing over the other.
This was news I was gonna mention briefly, is that apparently Kate Blanchett, who's the villain in Thor 3.
Yeah, I just heard about that too.
But she's playing I forget what it's
in the Guardian mythology. Of Hell.
Yeah, well she's playing like the Queen of Death. And then instead of having, she's going to be who
Thanos is in love with
her Infinity Gauntlet.
Oh,
so she's just having so like she's splitting the whole universe open.
You for just the Infinity made me Gauntlet. Yeah. So excited because
and the fact that it's a road trip movie with Hulk. So it's Hulk versus Carol. It's Mark Ruffalo versus.
Yeah, but I'm just picturing the love scenes between Josh Brolin and friggin' Kate Blanchett as Thanos and Death. Oh my god!
Yeah, it's gotta be pretty cool. Oh my god.
That is one of the best parts of Thanos' character is the fact that the man is in love with Death. Yeah. So it's just, which is understandable because he kills everything that he comes across. That's very exciting. So it's a good time to be a fan of female superheroes because they're coming in a big way. So, anyway, so I guess we should segue now into the Suicide Squad trailer. What happened? Did I miss something?
No, we should.
We shared a moment. It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
So,
they're coming in a big way.
Come on!
Oh.
Come on!
All right. Moving on. Yeah, that's right. Cleaning that up.
Nope, that's staying in. They're idiots.
Woo! Cleaning that up.
We want them being idiots on
taking
the
tarp away.
Fair enough. Okay.
Suicide Squad.
So the Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad trailer.
It is a great trailer.
It is an awesome trailer.
It is a great, beautiful, great choice awesome, in music.
Great choice in music.
Yes.
Yes.
The movie has a lot to live up to because that trailer was.
Yeah. Amazing. I don't know. I'm still undecided on Suicide
David
Squad.
David Ayer is proven to be a good.
Well, he
writer director.
He's incredibly hit and miss.
Well, I don't know. I've only seen
Fury. One of the greatest things ever.
Fury was fucking great, and so was
that. Sabotage, vomit in a bag.
Sabotage.
Vomit in a bag and wave it around. That's watching Sabotage.
I forgot about Sabotage. Sabotage was all right, but
so he's totally hit and miss.
But there was another one. There's something I'm missing another one of his movies. It's Tank, or not Tank, Fury, and
End of Watch.
End of Watch. Okay, yeah. That was the other one. Yes, End of Watch. So two out of three. That's not hit and miss.
But
that's,
what the
damn good average.
What the Suicide Squad trailer does incredibly well that. That Batman v Superman hasn't done as well. That I feel like you're right. That there seems to be more anticipation behind like watching the Suicide Squad trailer and getting excited. Is that in the Wonder Woman footage? Is it puts like a clear through line behind it, like a thesis and a theme? Whereas like Batman v Superman, you don't know what that movie really is. But when you watch the Suicide Squad trailer, you're like, oh, holy shit!
They're hunting the Joker.
Like it looks just insane.
I mean,
fun.
The thing I don't know if the trailer gave that away. However, the poster does. Have you guys seen the poster?
Yeah. The poster. I love the poster too. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, that is one of my new favorite posters because
I really want that poster.
It's colorful. It shows off each one of the characters really well and their personalities really well. And then, like you say, Joker's kind of alone by himself up there.
I mean, maybe they're not chasing him, but he's definitely not part of the squad.
No.
I don't think he's the big bad of the movie. That's the Enchantress. But I think he's going to be kind of like in a Hannibal Lecter role, where he's going to be freed up or something, and he's going to be meddling in the main plot.
That would make sense.
And then they show the shots with Harley and Joker together, and I'm wondering. Yeah.
Those are flashbacks.
I think some of them are.
Yeah,
there's definitely the origin flashback.
Because, I mean, Batman's going to be in it. I mean, they already confirmed that.
Yeah.
And I think they even showed him the trailer, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they in the first trailer, they show him, like, landing on the car.
Yeah.
But not in the
now, we don't know for sure if that's Affleck or if it's a stuntman just playing Batman.
It's got to be.
Affleck.
Batfleck.
But I hope it's him. Because I also heard a rumor that Joker might pop up in Batman vs. Superman somewhere.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of rumors coming out of that one now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I'm excited. Whatever these DC movies bring us, I'm really, really excited. Although I am a Man of Steel fan, but regardless of that, I'm just excited that we're seeing movies with Batman and Superman on the same screen, along with Wonder Woman, and we're going to get a little tease of The Flash and Aquaman. And I don't want it to be full-on cameos.
And Cyborg, just potentially.
Just a mention. He's definitely going to be in it. I don't know if they're going to mention in Batman versus Superman. He's definitely in Justice League.
Definitely in Justice League.
But I think he's making a pop-up at the
maybe
the end.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, the thing is called Dawn of Justice, so obviously they got to,
Right.
It's a launching point.
Poor Henry Cavill. I mean, he's just like, I'm going to be in all these Justice League movies and everything, but what the fuck happened to Man of Steel 2?
What happened to my franchise?
I mean, the good thing about it is the dude could probably play Superman for the next 15 years at least.
Oh, yeah.
If he stays in shape, which I'm sure he will. So he's going to have a job.
I think
regardless.
He's a great actor, actually. He's a lot of people say he's
very good actor.
He's great in The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah. And I heard he's amazing
in Man from U.N.C.L.E., but he's so charming and great that I feel like he needs to do himself like the work of the favor of like making sure he's out in other movies.
Yeah, he's going to do some smaller ones now. I bet you after Man from U.N.C.L.E. didn't do as well at the box office, which not his fault or anybody involved.
No.
The movie was good. It just didn't get marketed right.
Yeah.
But Henry Cavill will do some smaller ones that'll show off his acting because the dude can't act. I mean, we've already known this. I mean, the Tudors, I haven't seen it yet, but everybody who's watched the Tudors says he's fantastic in that. So, I love the rumor about George Miller doing Man of Steel 2. I really wish that came to fruition. That would have been amazing. Because I don't know if you guys have read or heard of anything from his Justice League, failed Justice League, but you guys should because it sounded really good. And then now after what Mad Max blew up, I'm sure fucking Warner Brothers is kicking themselves in the ass for fucking killing that movie. But it's all right because we're here now and we're getting some DC movies. So anyway, so I think that covers like all the major news. I was going to look online to see if there's anything else that was like
David Blatt got fired. Different podcast.
Hey, and the Kings are in the playoffs.
And the Kings are in the playoffs.
Yes,
so for an NBA
sports
pod
stuff
coming
happening.
Probably.
That could lead into Legends of Tomorrow as well. We just mentioned it, but we didn't really.
That's true.
Yeah,
I didn't really talk about.
Well, yeah,
that
goes into what we watched.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I was going to lead into that actually. So that was where I was going next. So so what we watched this week, and actually. I'm just going to throw in something a little bit early before we get into Legends of Tomorrow, because I think that's going to dominate the rest of the show. It should. or at least the whole Flash, the whole DC week. We mentioned Princess Leia in the Rogue One conversations. She guest starred on Star Wars Rebels last night. And if you guys haven't watched it.
I saw that was going to happen. I need to watch the episode.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun episode. Although Kanan does something with the lightsaber that I didn't think was possible, but when you guys watch it, let me know.
Eat spaghetti?
that's possible. It'll be very fried. Yeah, it'll be very Cajun style. But
hey, all right.
He did something. I don't know if I want to give it away.
No, don't give it away.
We'll watch it.
But I don't know if you guys watch Rebels. I'm glad to know you guys do. Okay, please
do. Like six
and as soon
behind,
as you do, maybe we'll talk about it next week. Just a little blurb. But it was a really good episode. It was called Princess and Lothal, I think. And the woman who does the voice of Princess Leia did a really good job. Like, she sounded regal. She sounded like Leia should sound. I'm not saying that Carrie Fisher didn't. I love Carrie Fisher's smoky voice. Like,
of course.
I love Carrie Fisher so much. I heart her so friggin' much. But there's no way she could have pulled off. I'm pretty sure Leia's 17 here. How old is Leia?
She's not 17.
Well, how old is she?
She's like 17 or 18 in New Hope.
Well, and this is only a year or two before.
Five.
5 years before? So she's 11?
Well, I think this goes
back... She's
not
11 years
old. Well, this goes back to how the Star Wars timeline kind of makes itself vague.
It'd be 13.
Outside,
yeah.
Like, unless you're a geek and you're paying really close attention, like,
the
layman doesn't go into Force Awakens and say, well, is this exactly 35 or 33 years? Like, it plays loose.
And you know what? Maybe it should, because also, we're also basing our ages on the Earth's, yearly calendar, whereas obviously this is how do they do it in Star Wars? They don't even know what kind of calendar they use.
True.
So age might be different there.
Well, I feel like Rebel Dawn was like 10 years. It was like probably halfway between.
Well,
three and four.
I don't want to give away too much in the episode, but
no, we should, yeah.
But you guys should watch.
We'll watch it and then.
But okay, there's a thing. This doesn't give away too much. There's a thing that she talks about in relation to Ezra, where it makes it seem like she's about 2 years older than Ezra. There's a line that she gives that makes you think she's about a couple years older than Ezra. So however old Ezra is, give Leia like 2 more years.
Interesting. Okay.
So, and I think Ezra's like 14, 15. I think. Huh. I could be wrong. But anyway, watch the episode. We'll discuss it more next week. So since we all watched Legends of Tomorrow, let's get into that. So I don't know. Was it on the podcast when I was mentioning earlier about the G-list characters, or that was before we started recording?
No, we were talking before. All right.
So I'm not repeating myself for you people.
whoa.
For our listeners.
People with ears.
Kyle. Right. I mean, Josh. Kyle. Sorry, I'm blaming Kyle. Love you, Kyle. So Legends of Tomorrow, I am so excited because these are even lower than, like, Iron Man is a D-list character, okay? A-list, give you some examples, Spider-Man, Superman, Batman, those are A-list. B-list are, like, all the X-Men. Iron Man was D. These characters, DC characters, are G characters. Like, these, Firestorm, White Canary doesn't even exist in the DC universe, but I love that they're bringing her in here.
Yeah.
Because Katie Lotz is awesome.
She is.
And I was sad that she died on Arrow. Spoilers.
Wait, that's not a DC character?
White Canary is not. Black Canary is.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Black Canary, if I remember correctly, Dinah Lance in the books, even though she goes by Laurel. Although her name's, Dinah Laurel Lance, but she goes by her middle name for some reason.
Yeah.
But Laurel Lance, and I think the reason they did that was because they weren't even sure if they were going to make her Black Canary. I think that's the only reason they did that. Dinah Lance is the Black Canary in the comics. I don't think she has a sister. And in the book, and obviously in the show, she does. And they made her Black Canary, for those of you who haven't seen Arrow. They made the sister Black Canary, and then she died. And then Laurel took over, and all was right in the DC universe. But DC understood what they had with the talented actress in Katie and the character of Sarah Lance, that they didn't want to get rid of her. So they brought her in as White Canary in Legends of Tomorrow. Now, the way they brought her back was the Lazarus Pit. So anybody out there who makes jokes about Arrow being Batman, it's true.
It totally is true, yeah.
Because they can't do Batman on TV. Like, that's, Warner Brothers' mandate. It's like, no, you can't. Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman can't be touched. I think everybody else, I think, is pretty open. I mean, you have to ask still. But
I imagine what you have to ask.
But they said don't even ask about Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. Although Superman has made an appearance in Supergirl, sort of
by mention.
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys have you guys seen any episodes of Supergirl yet?
Yeah, just the
first.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm behind, but I've seen a lot.
Well, I'm gonna do a little minor spoiler here because I don't think you guys get to it. But there's a conversation that Kara has with Clark over G-Chat or whatever they would call it, I don't know, over the internet.
Just instant messaging.
Yes, instant messaging. Sorry, instant messaging over the computer. And there's just things that Clark Kent says that are so Superman and so Clark that I got teary-eyed. And then Melissa Benoist, I don't even know how to say her last name, Benoist.
No idea.
But Melissa, you are wonderful. Forgive me for not knowing the pronunciation of your name. She says, thanks, Clark, and she gets kind of a little choked up when she says it, and I got choked up because that's how special Superman Clark Kent is, and that's what I wanted to mention a few weeks ago when we talked about this, and why I love Superman so much. He's such a special character, even though I know he's a very polarizing character because people don't think he's boring because he's indestructible and all this. That's a pod for another day. But
back to DC
Week and Supergirl and all that stuff. This does lead into Legends of Tomorrow, Mr. Moorhead. I was getting there. The reason I was talking about that was because of the way that these writers, because this is all the same team, Berlanti and company, or Supergirl, all the way to Legends of Tomorrow, Arrow, Flash, all of them to them. They treat these characters with such respect and love, and they know it so well that it just makes me so happy that we're getting these, like I said, G-list heroes and even villains. Well, actually, the Rogues, the Captain, let's name the team. Name the team, Potter.
Well, you've got Firestorm, you've got Captain Cold, you've got White Canary, you've got the Atom. Who else is on there?
The only one I had heard of before this was Hawkman.
Yeah, Hawkman and Hawkgirl, which is great that they're getting more into those characters.
What's the fire guy's name? I can't remember the fire
Firestorm.
Name. Firestorm.
No, but it's Snart's. It's Snart's brother, yeah. Captain Cold's brother.
It's not his brother.
They're just not his brother. They're friends. Well,
they're brothers on Prison Break.
Yes,
Prison Break.
I always forget his name.
Yeah, look up his name. While you mention that, and the other character that they have, is Rip Hunter, who is a time travel hero.
The Doctor, basically.
It's awesome because it's played by Arthur Darvill.
What is he? He's a Time Master.
Yes, not a Time Lord.
So, if anybody knows who Arthur Darvill is or doesn't know who he is, he played Rory, one of Matt Smith's companions, the 11th Doctor's companions, Amy Pond's true love. And I loved Rory. So, to see Arthur Darvill again was very exciting. But the fact that he gets to play the Doctor, basically, in this show.
It's fun.
It's Heatwave, by the way. Captain Cold. I always forget that.
As a person that's never seen a full episode of either Arrow or The Flash, and The Flash was definitely on my radar, something I should be watching. It was such a shock to see something so unabashedly, unironically owning how geeky it was.
Oh, God.
And just swing for the fences with it.
And it hit a home run, in my opinion.
It was so ambitious. I mean, obviously, the effects aren't as good as they would be if it was the $500 million movie version of it.
But still.
But it was still so, you know, we all work in this business, and we're constantly told what the barriers are.
Yeah.
And the show is just like, fuck it! Future London with you know...
10 seconds in, Blitz, and I'm like, okay, done.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sold. And then 30 seconds later, it's Arthur Darvill standing there talking to the Time Masters.
Right.
Yep. I'm like, okay, still sold. Done.
And then you're the atom inside of the computer. This is Ant-Man. Like, even though I wasn't fluent, I was on board.
Yeah. Well, it was one of the things that sort of it seems to have learned from The Flash, which The Flash has a lot of complicated science and complicated time travel issues and all of that.
It does.
But they just, instead of arguing about it or debating it, somebody just says, oh, that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
They
of course, we're going to go, you know, why are we going to see Dr. What's-His-Face? I don't remember his name.
He's only
got a day left. Oh, of course, because any disruption to his timeline would be minimal.
But
brilliant.
The other brilliant thing is what the show did that I feel like the Marvel movies have done really well is that it takes a concept that if you're not familiar with it and you can't wrap your head around it, and it humanizes it. So when they're talking about talking about them being immortal and like reincarnating, I'm like, what? I don't know if I like this mythology, but then when they go to talk to the professor, it's spoiler alert, and they're like, he's like, I'm your son. That humanizes it. Now I'm into it emotionally, even if I'm not into it intellectually, and I'm on board.
Yeah.
By the way, I probably should have said this from the beginning. Spoilers. We're going to have lots of spoilers in this one. This is going to be a spoilerific review of Legends of Tomorrow.
And that's also a good peek into what this show can do with its whole time travel.
Agreed.
Scene. Yes.
One question I have, since you brought that up, and maybe I looked away from the screen for a second, but when they go see Hawkgirl and Hawkman's son, Dr. Barado Croc, or whatever the fuck his name was.
Yeah, Barado Croc.
Yeah,
that's not even remotely.
Yeah. It started with a B.
Feel good, but it's not feel good. Yeah. It's something like that.
But anyway,
like,
Potter's looking it up. Okay,
I'll look it up.
Now, my question is, and like I said, maybe I looked away for a second, I should have rewound it, but doesn't he show a picture of him as an adult with the Hawkgirl?
It's
a picture of the two of them, Hawkman, Hawkgirl, with him as a baby. That was in this picture of you guys.
I didn't notice the baby in the picture. I thought he was the man in the picture.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It's Aldous Borgman.
Borgman? Okay, so I was right with the B part.
Borgman.
So,
he is Locutus of Borg. But it was great. And then the other thing that it did really well, because it's got 9 characters.
Yes.
It's got 9 lead characters.
It found time for all of them.
Yeah. And it did the very Joss Whedon thing of, like, giving them each a moment, sort of, whether within the action or within their own scene, of making the action that they do fit the character.
Yeah.
And then making sure that the 2 or 3 lines they do get in a scene help you understand who that character is in a very quick way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, I love the line about, like, why did we become thieves? Because we hate work and we love money. Yeah. Like, that's great. He's like, you
Snart,
know, can,
Snart is great. Always going to steal the show for me every single time. Oh my God. I love Captain Cold, and I love that he...
Wentworth Miller. Wentworth Miller is
He's so good. It's the snarkiness, the way he delivers the line.
His name is Snark, and he's so snarky.
It's the way the writers write for him, too. Yeah. Write for that character. They get the character.
Like
they,
then, just, there was just a little moment. It was a very small one, but it was there. It was White Canary says, I want to dance or something. And she's like, I feel like dancing. Would you like to dance? And he's like, no, I'll let you take this one. Just the way he says it, and the smile on his face, and it's just like, God, this guy is so good as Captain Cold. And
it's going to be a fun show.
It is. And him and Heatwave together, they could probably have their own show.
Oh, easily.
Like, they already have.
I would love
Prison
to
Break,
that.
As we discussed.
Yeah.
But they have such great chemistry, and it's carried over into this show. I love it.
Then a moment later when, you know, she's there dancing, and the guy hassles her, and she's like, it's okay, I got this. And six more guys come up. She's like, okay, now I can use some help.
Yeah.
And they just jump right in. He just literally just throws his two beer bottles on the ground. He's like, let's do this.
Yeah.
My only not nerd fluent question is why? How the hell are like an old white dude and a young black dude like living together inside of a superhero?
Firestorm. Okay, good question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Good segue. Firestorm is a very, very. He's a very DC character. I don't think like I don't explain. I guess it's hard. I guess should explain.
Obviously,
a more.
Victor Garber is awesome. That Victor Garber.
Yes.
Show, but he. So okay.
Well, they're staying very loyal.
So
to the character.
He invented a science, and it got implemented into this boy. And now the only way they can use it is if they have coitus.
The layman, because I'm not going to give you the 20-minute explanation.
Yeah, give
I
me
don't
the layman.
Understand that
bullet point.
The sort of brief thing is originally there was somebody else who Victor Garber was paired with.
It was played by Robbie on the Flash.
It was Caitlin. So when the particle accelerator blew, he was working on something. The doctor Victor Garber was working on something. He became like a being of energy. It was very complicated. He fused, if I remember correctly, with Rob Amell's character.
And then.
As a way of, he became, so he was fire, like, basically all the time. Yeah. And so they figured out through that device that they have that, like, you know, you see the device where they join together?
Circle,
so
the
through
circle
that, they were able to separate them. But they still sort of run on the same frequency or complementary frequencies.
They have to join up every once in a while.
Yeah.
In order
so to... when Rob Amell decided he didn't want to do Legends of Tomorrow...
Actually,
they had to find somebody else, and Victor Garber was his character was dying, so they had to find other people who were affected by the particle accelerator. This kid was a match, so they could join together and become Firestorm.
Gotcha. But this is a big spoiler for the
big
future.
Big spoiler, yeah.
But I don't know how much Robbie Amell not wanting to do the show fed into it, but that is the natural progression of the character of Firestorm, because originally it was those two men, and then I don't know if Robbie Amell, because in the show, I think it was Flash,
it was
Flash or Arrow,
the
one
Flash.
Of the two.
No, was, mm-hmm. well,
Robbie Amell's character sacrificed himself to save everybody. So
see,
he
end
saved
of season one.
Yeah, and at the end of was that the end of season one?
It was the end of season one. Yeah,
yeah.
He
okay.
Died.
It was right at the beginning of the episode, too, if I remember correctly.
It was, yes. I mean, early. it felt very much to me like they ended season one like, okay, he's going to come back. Like, there was no reason.
Yeah.
There was no need to kill him.
Let me get through this. So that's what happened in the show. And in the book, the same thing kind of happened in the comic books what is his character's name? Robbie Amell's character in the comic book as well also... sacrificed himself and gave it up, and Firestorm had to find, or the doctor had to find another person that could fuse with him.
Okay.
And it turned out to be an African American kid, which they obviously carried this over to the show. So that is a natural progression of the character. So I don't, and I just read that ML's coming back as a bad guy, which is what happened in the comics as well. I don't remember the bad guy's name, but he came back as a villain.
I think he's going to be an X-Men also.
Maybe that's it too.
I don't know.
I think it always meant it was just always meant to happen.
Interesting.
It's two guys. They're on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
And then they come together and it's flaming. That's Just so I know.
Are you also one of the ones? That had a problem with the hobbits being so happy with each other when in Lord of the Rings?
I laughed at that slumber party at the end of. Well,
that's
different.
Well, that's because you don't have any friends.
It's because I love slumber parties. Anyway, yeah, okay, that all makes sense.
We should have a slumber party. Is that what you're saying, Mr. Yeah. Mayor? That way we have a slumber party where we watch the 7-hour Godfather epic. Oh, I'm not going to get into that right now, but we will someday. So Legends of Tomorrow. I can't say enough about this show. I mean, it's so well
cast.
The
ship's really cool.
The ship is cool. Awesome. I love that we're watching a show that these comic characters are traveling around a spaceship.
Arthur Darvill has a laser revolver. Let's talk about that. That's so cool.
That is so cool. Brandon Routh is fucking killing it as Ray Palmer.
And you know what? I just want to take a moment to say I really enjoyed him as Superman. All of the haters that hate on Superman Returns.
Nobody hates on him, though.
I did not like him as Superman.
I don't like him as much as I did.
Not really like him in Chuck. Until recently, he always felt very... He's a very wooden actor.
Well, he's great
in Scott Pilgrim. Finally...
But because he's playing
finally
a wooden
loosened
board.
Up.
Yeah,
like he's finally. It's. I mean, and maybe it's not him. Maybe it's the way he's been directed. Maybe it's the role he's taking. I don't know.
I don't know.
It finally feels like there's more to him than just a cardboard box.
Yeah. For me, in that though, he felt
guy.
Very much
just a pretty guy who's there.
Pretty nice guy.
He emulated really nice Christopher Reeves, though.
That was Bryan Singer's fault more than anything else because Bryan Singer tried to make Superman 3, and it's like.
Yes, but I like that too.
You know what he was great in?
It was good.
Where he has maybe the most character, if you want to see him play outside the cardboard box
role.
I would love to.
Zach and Mary Make a Porno?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right. I do not remember him in that. I
totally forgot he was in that.
Interesting.
Oh, my
God. Yeah.
Huh.
I was thinking of that movie. Was it Dylan Dog that he made?
Dylan Dog.
Oh, I
forgot
about that.
Bounty Hunter or whatever.
Yeah. That was definitely Adam Fox acting for Mr. Rupp. But he's so good as Ray Palmer and the Adam. Like when he has that moment where he says, you know, when the world thought I was dead and everything just moved on and I didn't.
That
wasn't
really
like
good.
I don't know if this is how everyone feels, but that's one of my biggest fears, to be honest with you. I want to do something on this that leaves a mark in the sense that when I'm gone, I'll still kind of be around.
Well, that's what I mean.
Genocide.
The show was good.
I want to do something non-evil.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Non-evil.
Right.
The show was good about taking.
I don't want to live on an infamy.
A weird esoteric concept and humanizing.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you're like, what the fuck is this Adam thing? And then he's like, I just want to be remembered. And you're like, like me.
Well, and the way that, like, I don't remember what's the character's name, Arthur Darvill's character.
Rip Hunter.
The way Rip sells it to them is like, you guys are already legends, so let's go do this.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, fine, you guys are all nobodies and you don't matter, so let's go do this.
Yeah. That's why I brought you here.
Which
is funny because that totally makes sense. Because like everything that you're setting up, like all the things, like even when that bounty hunter comes to see those two people is like,
which was a great name.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Especially with the way Flash, especially in the first season, played so much with, you know, the Flash goes missing in 2024 or whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
time
with that sort of, his importance to the future.
Yeah. They've already established.
You know, they can't take the Flash.
Which if all of us were intelligent, we're just saying from the beginning, like, no way, these guys have to be inconsequential. Then your shit doesn't make any sense. But that's what's so wonderful about time travel. It's so hard to write for, but it's so fun to write for.
Yes,
they're going to be legends, but they're already legends.
Yeah.
But they're not yet legends.
Yeah.
And he was always a time master.
I've gone all side.
But he will be a time master because he was, but he's not.
But he's not. He is.
So
just
anyway,
my head's going to explode.
Anyway.
So final thoughts on Legends of Tomorrow? I think we got it all out there.
I think so.
Yeah.
You
know,
I'm in.
I'm in too, and I mean I've been watching all the shows: Gotham, Supergirl, Flash. Gotham is not part of the Atlantic crew, just so everybody knows. But I still like
it. The big thing that'll be interesting about Legends going forward, because notice also that even though it was in and of itself, it was a story. It's pilot part one.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not the full pilot. Like,
no,
you know,
we haven't seen
everything. Like, they're not done with the
first
part of this.
Yeah.
So,
and from what I understand, and it did, I think it did pretty well in the ratings. I mean, I think it's going to be a success because this show is really expensive. So everybody needs to watch if we want it to come back because it is a wonderful show. And it could go on for a long time where you just keep bringing in new characters.
Yeah, what's going to be really interesting.
It's like Avengers for TV.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll do Pilot Part 2, which I imagine will be a lot like this, except it'll probably involve some sort of heist so that Cold, Heat Wave
can do their criminal stuff.
So that, yeah. But what I'm wondering is how much, because there are these 9 characters, are some of these characters going to take a back seat like this, where there's the A story is them going to meet the Doctor, and the B story is them at the bar.
Unless they do Ocean's 11 every episode.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that they're not going to do. I mean,
it's too hard.
Or the question is there going to be an A story, which is these three heroes, a B story, which is these three heroes, and then these other three heroes are not in the episode, or they're only there for
that seems like what they've been doing closing. That seems like they've been doing with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, so I mean, the question is, like, is it, like, do they save money by just having, you know, not having Snart in, like, 3 of the episodes, and they don't have Firestorm in 2 of the episodes?
I guess, I mean,
I don't know.
Does IMDb, they're going to, each one of them is going to get a credit, even if they're regardless if they're in that episode.
Generally. Yeah. But it's not, on IMDb, it's usually not until after it airs that it'll say credited only. Yeah.
That's true. All right, but it'll be that's interesting a good question.
To see how they handle it. It's a lot of characters.
How many episodes are they getting? 10, 13?
I don't remember.
I have no idea.
I'd have to look.
No, actually, I think it was 16.
But it's a lot of characters to deal with.
If this first part of the pilot is any indication, though, it seems like they have a good handle on how to write for that.
Yes, which is great. That's very inspiring. I mean, they'll definitely have to focus on certain characters. I mean, this episode, it focused a little more on Hawkman and Hawkgirl. Hawk, whatever.
Which is good because you need that to, because they're directly tied to Vandal Savage, which we already saw in Arrow and Flash.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that helps set it up for people that are just coming on board for Legends of Tomorrow that haven't seen any of the other shows, like Josh over here.
Yeah. They got 16 episodes, by the way.
Cool. So. Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool. And there was that line, too, where Snart's like, "You're benching us already?" Or he says it some way, and it's him and Heatwave and White Canary. Because
he doesn't need anything stolen or anybody killed.
Yeah. which is funny. So they're aware that they have a lot of characters to write for. So I think an A and B story formula would be great for the show.
I agree. Well, I got to say, Marvel's dominating Netflix, obviously, with Daredevil. And I just started watching Jessica Jones finally.
So good.
3 episodes in, and wow, that show's really freaking good.
Yeah.
I can't wait for Luke Cage, and I can't imagine what they're going to do with Iron Fist. And then when they team them all up in the Defenders, good time to be a comic book fan. And then DC, obviously, Monday you got Supergirl Gotham, Tuesday you got The Flash, Wednesday you got Arrow, and Thursday you got Legends of Tomorrow. And then Friday you got The Way We Nerd podcast. So, I mean, it's just one hell of a time to be a nerd because all week, the week belongs to us. The weekend, you guys can have the weekend. The week belongs to us. Anyway, so I think we're going to put a pin in that and end it for now. We got some special podcasts coming up. I mentioned earlier the Godfather epic. I hope that we can all sit down and watch the 7-hour epic. And if you guys don't know what that is, look it up online. I'll talk about it more next time. But coming very, very soon, we were going to have a special pod dedicated to the late, great Alan Rickman. And make sure you look for our YouTube movie reviews. First one of 2016. What did we see, Josh Moorhead?
Ride Along 2.
Yeah, you want to hear what we thought about Kevin Hart and Ice Cube's second team up? Check it out. We'll have the website for you down there on the link on the website. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time for myself, Daniel Villalobos,
Kyle Bound,
Josh Moorhead,
and Joshua Potter.
We will see you next time. Nerd on.